We're doing Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. We're in the middle of the 38th chapter. It's a very long chapter. We'll move forward. We left off with Rabbi Levi Omer, and we had really gone with Yaakov Avinu. The Medrash had taken us from Yaakov Avinu, from his birth, all the way through Yaakov coming back home and living by his father Yitzchak. And that's where we left off. But Yaakov had his wives and children and grandchildren. Everyone was there, and that's where we left off. Rabbi Levi Omer, Bishat Asifato Shel Yitzchak, Heniach Et Mikneo Vet Kineno Vet Kol Asholo Lishnei Vanav. When Yitzchak passed away, he left his wealth to his two children, not like Avram Avinu, who gave a substantial amount to the different children and sent them all off and left the primary wealth for Yitzchak, but rather Yitzchak, when he passed away, being that both his children were from the same wife. It wasn't like Avram, where he had one son from the wife and a bunch of children from the maid, from Hagar. So by Yitzchak, when he passed away, he left everything. He divided it equally between kids. So they both, that's why Esav joined in, and they both did kindness to Yitzchak. As the Pasuk says, Shenema ve'ikputo Esav Yaakov banav. Amar Esav li'Yaakov, Esav told Yaakov, Nachlo kol ma shenichnanu abba lishnei chalakim ani borer. Let's divide everything that Dad left over into two sections, and I choose because I'm the firstborn. Yaakov said, this guy, he hasn't had enough, this wicked one. So how did Yaakov divide it? The rule was, if I get to pick, then you do the dividing. That's always a good way of dividing. When kids say, I get to choose, so you say, fine. If you get to choose, then another kid gets to divide. Right? It's a way of ensuring that you divide fairly. So Yaakov's dividing. Yaakov put everything, all the wealth on one side, and Eretz Yisrael on the other side. So Esav takes counsel with Yishmael. So Yishmael told Esav, right now, all you have is a promise. You can't have the land right now. Right now, there are other nations here. Yaakov believes that ultimately he'll inherit the land. You take everything and leave Yaakov with the promise, and ultimately Yaakov won't have anything. So Esav took everything, and he left Yaakov with the land of Israel, including the Maris HaMachpelah, that special cave where Adam and Chava are buried, Avram and Yitzchak. And they wrote an eternal contract. So Yaakov told Esav, if this is my land, you gotta leave. And Esav left. And as wages, as payback for the fact that he cleared himself out of respect for Yaakov, God granted him 100 cities, 100 states, from Seir till Magdiel, Shneimar, Aluf Magdiel, Aluf Iram, Zeromi. The Pasuk enumerates the different officers, the different leaders of the city-states that Esav had, and one of them is Rome. So you see that his city-states extended from Seir, which is bordering on Israel, all the way out to Rome. Az yashav Yaakov betach v'shanan be'eretz Chinan u'be'eretz mulato ve'eretz migu'ei aviv, Shneimar v'yeshev Yaakov be'eretz migu'ei aviv. Then Yaakov sat peacefully in the land where his father had been, in the land of Canaan, the land where he was born. He came back to his home territory, and he settled down. And here the Pasuk is really, the Medrash is playing off of the Pasuk, but the Medrash is also giving us some insight into the Pasuk. But to an extent, I think, when a person moves, he switches countries, as much as he'll settle down, there's nothing like settling down in home territory. Even when you feel comfortable and you have neighbors that you like and you have a community that you like and everything's good. But at the end of the day, there's nothing like the place where you grew up. When a person comes back to Eretz Mulato, the land where he was born, when he comes back to the land where his father was living, that's where his family's coming from, then he's Vayeshev, then he could settle down. And the Medrash is giving us insight that that's what the Pasuk's saying, Vayeshev Yaakov. Yaakov could finally settle down when he was Beretz Migrei Aviv, in the land where his father lived. And to an extent, the Medrash is also giving us insight into the test that Avram Avinu had when God told him, Lech lecha me'artzecha, mimolatecha, mi'beis avicha, leave your country, leave the place where you were born, leave your father's territory, go.
It's interesting that many people say that when they come to Eretz Yisrael, then they feel at home. A lot of people that say that everywhere they live throughout the world, they didn't feel at home. When they come here, they do feel at home. If you want to analyze it logically, so a Jew knows deep down inside that wherever he is, he might be kicked out. Jews have lived and been faithful citizens to many countries and kicked out of those countries. Jews give up their lives in World War I. My family has a yad, a hand that they used to point in the Sefer Torah on Shabbos from the shul in Frankfurt. And that hand was dedicated to the shul in memory of two children from the shul who lost their lives fighting for Germany in World War I. So they had in the shul, that's where they commemorated these two children. So people gave up their lives, and a decade later they found themselves being kicked out of Germany and being killed by Germany. And that's the way our history has been throughout the world. A person comes to Israel, so might not give him the luxuries of anywhere else, but at the end of the day, it's mine. It's nothing like being at home. So maybe that's part of it, that Eretz Yisrael has all these attributes even though a person wasn't born here. Rabbi Ishmael Omer, Kol Ben Zoken Chaviv David. Rabbi Ishmael says, whenever a person has a child that was born when a person is very old, so then the father has a special affinity for that child. Shnemar, as we find the pasuk says, V'Yisrael Ahavet Yosef Mikol Banav, Ki Ben Zkonim Hulo. That Yisrael, Yaakov, he loved Yosef more than all his other children because Yosef was born when Yaakov was old. V'Ki Ben Zkonim Haya Yosef? Was Yosef really born when Yaakov was so old? V'Lo Binyamin Haya Ben Zkonim. The youngest child, the one who was born when Yaakov was the oldest, was Binyamin. We even find that later on, when Yehuda is talking to Yosef, so he describes Binyamin as Yeled Zekunim Katon. He's the little one. He was born when my father was an old man. So Binyamin is really the Ben Zekunim. He's the one that they had at an old age. Ela Achira Bin Vuato Shuatid Limloch. But the idea behind it is that he was called the Ben Zekunim because he was the son that would ultimately support him when he is a Zakin. The Medrash is telling us, technically, why does the person have a special affinity for the child that's born when he's an old man? Because he figures, this kid is going to take care of me when I get older. He's still going to be around to take care of me as I age. The other kids, they'll have their own families. They won't have a head to help me out. So Yaakov knew with Nevuah that ultimately Yosef would be king, and he'd take care of the whole family. That's why he loved him more than the other ones. And the other brothers were very jealous. The brothers saw that the father loved him more than all the other ones. And furthermore, he saw in his dream that Yosef would be king. Yosef told his father, and they were more jealous. They hated him even more over the dreams. He saw the children of his wife's pilagshim eating the meat of rams, or whatever an alia is, the tails of the sheep, when the sheep were still alive. So they were eating that fatty meat when the sheep were still alive. So the question is, what were they doing? So
the alia is the tail, or is it the ram?
It's the tail. It's the tail. Alia is the tail. Yeah.
The tail of
the sheep. Aliot the meat of the tail of the sheep. Okay, the idea of eating the tail is that the tail is, for us it's not kosher, it's got chilev there, but for them the tail is soft. What? Yeah, it's soft. And if you take off the tail, the animal doesn't become a baal mum until you hit the bone. There's a lot of meat before you hit bone there. So they were eating from the meat before the bone, and that doesn't make it that's not considered a blemish, and
doesn't kill the animal.
But on the other hand, the question is, what about Eva Minachai? How could they do that? So, okay, the commentaries discuss it. But the Medrash seems to say straight out, they were eating
meat from the animals when they were alive. And he was speaking badly before the father over these brothers. As the pasuk says, "V'lo yachlu davar shalom." They couldn't speak peacefully with him because why'd they hate him? Why couldn't they speak peacefully with him? Because he was constantly speaking badly about them. So about that, they couldn't speak peacefully to him. Amar Yaakov li Yosef. So Yaakov told Yosef, "Yosef, ni arei yesh li kama imim shlot shemati shlom achecha or shlom atzon." A few days have passed. I haven't heard how your brothers are doing, how the sheep are doing. Shnemar ve'yomalo. You don't have the section. Ve'yomalo lechna reit shlom achecha ve'shlom atzon. That Yaakov tells Yosef, "Go see how the your brothers are doing, how the sheep are doing." Why? Because time has passed and Yaakov hadn't heard from them. Yosef, who was a lad, he was going around. He couldn't find the way to find them. He was getting lost. So Gavriel, the angel, bumped into him, came to him and said, "The man found him when he was getting lost in the field." Ish ze Gavriel. The word Ish in Tanakh can often mean the angel Gavriel, as the pasuk says in Daniel, Shneimar va'ish Gavriel shariti v'chazon. Amar lo ma ata mevakesh. So Gavriel comes to Yosef and asks him, "What are you looking for?" And Yosef answers him, Amar lo atachai nochim mevakesh. Shneimar v'yomer atachai nochim mevakesh. Yosef tells him, "I'm looking for my brothers." Holicho etzelecham. So Gavriel took him to his brothers. What was Gabriel asking him? Gabriel was asking him, "What are you looking for in life? What are you looking for?" And what does Yosef answer him? He says, "I'm looking for my brothers. I'm looking for achim." Achim, we've said many times, the word ach is to unite, to put together. He was looking for achva. He was looking for brotherly love. And Gavriel didn't give him the second thing he wanted for, the brotherliness between the brothers. He brought him to them. They saw him, and they wanted to kill him. Etc. It says they saw him from afar. They said, "Here's the dreamer. Let's throw him into the pit, and we'll say a wild animal killed him. Let's kill him." Amalem Ruven, "Al tishpichu dam." Ruven said, "No, don't spill his blood. Ashlichu to lebor hazeh asher b'midbar." Throw him into the spit in the desert. V'yamut sham, and let him die there. We shouldn't spill his blood. Okay, so they want to kill him, and Ruven says, "No, leave him here and let him die over here." So firstly, we see over here that the Midrash is learning that they wanted to take him out physically, not like the Ramban says that they like the Midrash says that they were discussing. They sicked the dogs at him, and they tried. They pulled the Shimon and Levi were discussing who's going to pull the bow and shoot him, and from a distance. No, they were ready to take him hands on and kill him. Now that also needs work. Why? But the Midrash is saying, you see, Reuven told the brothers, "V'yad al tishlechu bo." Don't extend your hand to kill him. So the Midrash is learning that they were prepared to do it with their own hands. So Reuven says, "No, put him down into the pit." So the brothers listen to him. V'shamu lo echad. They listen to Reuven. Again, the Midrash is giving us clarity, because when we hear the story repeated in the brothers' own words, we find that there was more conversation going on. 20 years later, Reuven and the brothers are standing before the Egyptian king, and they're in trouble. And the brothers say, "This must be happening to us because of what we did to Yosef." What does Yosef tell them? What does Reuven tell them? Reuven says, "Halo amalti alechem, didn't I tell them, al techetu v'yelet, don't sin against the child, v'lo shematem, you didn't listen to me." So there Reuven says, "You didn't listen to me." So that's why the Midrash is stressing. They didn't listen to him when he said, "Don't kill him." He said, "Don't hurt him." They wouldn't listen. So finally he said, "Okay, so at least throw him into the pit." And that they did listen to him. That's why the Medrash says, "V'shamu lo echab." They did listen to that point. V'lakhut Yosef v'shlichu to labo. So they took Yosef, they threw him into the pit, and Emar, as the pasuk says, "V'yikachu." They took him, v'shlichu to abora. They threw him into the pit. Me'asa Reuven, what did Reuven do? Halach v'yashav lo bechal narim lered b'layla ula lot Yosef min abo. He went and sat up in a mountain, and he hid there. He figured if he hides, they won't know what he's thinking. He'll be out of the picture. So he left the brothers, and he hid on a mountain, and they'd think he was away on a journey, and they won't suspect him. He'll come at night, take Yosef out, and he'll run away, and then he'll come back later as though he was never there, and the brothers won't know that he had anything to do with it. He's sitting at the mountaintop waiting for nightfall to come, thinking that he'll take Yosef out of the pit. And the nine brothers were sitting in one place. They were all sitting together. They set a place. They had set up camp. That's what it says. Vayishvu le'chol lechem. They sat, meaning they set up camp. They had their camp set up. Belev echad ve'itza echad. They were all united. Hashem caused it that they'd all be united in the plan here. They agree with Reuven not to kill him head on, but they're all are in agreement that he should die. So what do they come up with? The Ishmaelim pass by. And here, so the Mefarshim say, we find in the story of Yiftach that the Midianim are called Yishmaelim. And the truth is that Yishmael is a son of Avram Avinu, and Midian is another son of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu had more children from Keturah. One of them is Midian, Efer, Vachanoch, Vavidah, Vildah, Kolel, Ebnei Keturah. The children of Keturah, one of them is Midian. So the Midianim in the Bible describes that there was a caravan of Midianites that passed by, and then it says they sold into the Ishmaelim. So the commentaries discuss what happened there. The commentary is saying that this Medrash seems to go with is that Midianim, a specific sect of Yishmaelim. Avram's other children are called Yishmaelim. It's a general term for all those children that came from Keturah. But the specific, the pasuk identifies them ones as Midianim. So the brothers said, let's sell him to the Yishmaelim. And they take him way out to the other edge of the desert. They'll get rid of them. Why should we let him die here in the pit? We'll give him to the Ishmaelim. They're nomads. They travel to take him to the other end of the desert, and that's the last we'll hear of him. Ben Yaakov Aviv Shomea Shomot. And then Yaakov, his father, he won't hear of him again. Well, Yaakov will think he's dead, and we won't have any more trouble from him. Umachuto silver coins. So this we derive from the Pasuk in Amos, the Haftarah in that Parsha. They sold the impoverished one, Yosef, for pairs of shoes. Now, the question is, wait a second. Now, how do we work Reuven into the picture? It says Reuven wasn't there. So, how come Reuven is one? It says they got 20 coins, two apiece. So you could say this is rounding off. Like the Ramban says, we find throughout Tanakh, the Ramban gives many, many examples. That's why the Ramban says, if the Talmud said that there were 613 mitzvahs given at Sinai, it could be that there were 600 given at Sinai and another 8 that were rabbinic, and the Talmud rounds off. It says 613 as a general term. The answer is how it rounds off. He quotes a Yerushalmi that says explicitly that the Tanakh rounds off. So that's a simple answer, yeah. Oh, so then you have to say that they saved the two coins and they paid him and he was willing to enjoy that money. You make Reuven into...
They brought him a pair of shoes.
Okay, you could say that.
They didn't have to tell him it came from Yosef's sale either.
So the Radal says maybe we could be dochek and say that, right, they just gave him the two silver coins and, right. He wants to say that it's mashma that Reuven didn't know he was alive till the end. Reuven was dead too. That's what the Radal wants to say. It says that when Reuven says, "Alo amarti alchem al techatu v'yedet ve'lo shmatem," Reuven thought they killed him all along. Then 20 years later, he discovers no, they didn't kill him. Now we're looking for Yosef. So that's a totally new chat in what happened there. So So they did sell him for 20 silver coins, and they each bought a new pair of shoes for them. Let's place a cherem, ostracism, that no one may tell over Yaakov till we're all together. And we all agree to tell. Yehudah said, you need 10 to make a cherem, and we don't have Reuven here. So what they do, they combined God with him. So you see that God agreed with them in that regard. God agreed to the cherem. Why? So you could say, maybe God didn't agree to their action of selling, like we find in the Navi Amos, but nonetheless, God agreed to join in the cherem, because this would ultimately lead to the Jews going down to Mitzrayim. So this was part of the godly plan. So this part God agreed to. But did God really agree to the sale? Seems like not. V'yarad Reuven b'layla la'alot Yosef min habor. So Reuven comes out of his hiding place in the mountains. He comes at night to take Yosef out of the pit. V'lo matza oto sham. He didn't find Yosef there. Amar lehem haragtem et Yosef ani ana ani ba. They told him, you killed him? What am I going to do? V'yigidu lo tadvar she'asu ve'et acherem she'achrimu. So they told them what they did. And acherem. Right. So there are other midrashim. The Zohar says that Reuven never knew it. The Radal is quoting a Zohar. But over here, right. The midrash over here is saying clearly that not. So they told him, the Shamar Reuven tacherem meshata. Reuven heard the cherem, and so now he was quiet. He couldn't say anything. And God was also silent. God didn't tell Yaakov what really happened. Because of this ostracization, God didn't tell Yaakov. Even though God is described as the one who does, on a steady basis, reveal to Yaakov what's going on in the world. But this God did not reveal to Yaakov. That's why Yaakov did not know what had happened to Yosef. Yosef. So Yaakov assumed that Yosef was devoured by wild animals. Rabbi Yanai says the tribes were not forgiven for the sale of Yosef till the day they died. As the verse says, God says, I won't forgive this till you die. The question is, how does the Medrash learn what's going on that? Okay. And because of the sale of Yosef, that's why there was the famine in Israel for 7 years. We always read about the famine, right? Paro dreams about the seven cows and there's a famine. So why was the famine in Eretz Yisrael? The Medrash says, because they sold Yosef, there was a famine. So Yosef's brothers had to go down to buy food in Mitzrayim. And when they found Yosef alive, they annulled the cherem. So Yaakov heard that Yosef was alive, and his spirit came back to life. Yaakov's spirit came back to life. They opened up the ostracization.